Back again as we continue with the Mike Moore Show on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.
Performance Radio News Director Zach Nelson, along with Beadle County State's Attorney Mike Moore, as we continue with our monthly look into the world of law. And Mike, we're going to talk a little bit about DWI, but in the notes here, drug-induced driving. So...
Right, and this is a good topic. It came up. We recently had our first jury trial here in Beadle County, where we had, or the officers had arrested somebody for DWI, and we were prosecuting them. And the DWI was based solely on drugs, and in this case, it was prescription drugs, drugs that they had been prescribed, and they were driving, but they were under the influence of those drugs. And a jury got to hear that case. And the why we have this as a topic is we've had that jury trial. We've had a couple more pleas. But this is kind of the new thing that's coming, is where the officers are trained to look for this. We're seeing a lot more of these cases where it's not just alcohol, but now we're dealing with both illegal and legal drugs. And people need to be aware that if you're under the influence of any drug, whether you've been prescribed it or not, you could be held responsible for DWI.
You know, and on that point too here, I mean, obviously we've dabbled quite a bit on the show with the legal marijuana topic. In fact, it's right. A topic here if we get time later this month. And I guess I can't help but think of all of those ridiculous commercials for certain medications. That there's a laundry list of things, and I don't know how many times I've turned a prescription pill case over that I maybe was taking, and it clearly says right there, do not operate heavy machinery or vehicles or whatever. So, I mean, I'm wondering why it is people think that it's not an issue when in reality it is.
Well, I think, you know, when you're dealing with the drugs that are legally prescribed to you and you're taking them under a doctor's care, people think that, you know, hey, I'm legally allowed to take this drug. A doctor gave it to me, so I can take this and drive, even though the warnings may say that you can't. And a lot of times, most of the times, the doctors will talk to them about that and go over that. And we don't, those are a minority of the cases. In the case that we're talking about that we tried last week, the person had just changed his prescription, was taking more than he should have. And when you under a change of prescription, that makes you, this pill that he was taking specifically said, when you change your prescription, you really need to be aware and not drive, because you have to kind of feel how this pill is going to affect you. And I think that's what people need to be aware of. They need to be self-conscious. You know, if you're taking a pill that's, there's one of the warnings is it can make you drowsy, don't drive, it could, you know, do certain things to you, that you should take it a couple times and see how it's going to affect you and make sure you're okay to drive, and maybe talk to somebody about it. You talk to your friend, say, hey, I just took this pill, what do you think? And, you know, or talk to your doctor, you know, and because, you know, whether you get arrested or not is really secondary, but you don't want to go out and hurt somebody. And that's really the bottom line, is we don't want people out there that are going to hurt somebody. And if you're driving while you're under the influence of a alcohol or a drug or illegal or illegal, you're going to hurt somebody, and we want to avoid that. So you kind of have to do a, you know, a self-assessment, maybe with the help of the doctor. But ultimately, if you're pulled over and the officers now are trained to look for that, they're going to look for that. And if you're under the influence, you're going to be arrested, because you're not safe to be operating a vehicle.
And I find it just odd, because, you know, people, you even look at that term, DUI, DWI, however you want to word it. And the key, the D, whether it's drug or drinking, doesn't really matter. I think it's, you get back to the end of that term, and it's the intoxicated, and it's any right. substance that can alter your normal state of mind. If you're driving a vehicle, and the officer, if they see the vehicle weave, they might at first think it's an alcohol related thing, but then as they get up and conduct their investigation, you know, like you said, they may reveal it's not alcohol, but it is something else that's affecting their ability to safely operate the vehicle.
You're absolutely right. And I think that, you know, people that have seen people that are under the influence of alcohol or under the influence of a legally prescribed drug, I mean, everybody has seen people that's on a painkiller. And you know, they see the impact that that painkiller has on that person. It obviously serves a very legitimate purpose. You're in pain. You take the painkiller. You feel better, but you're a little lethargic. You're a little drowsy. You look like you're intoxicated. I mean, I've seen numerous people like that. You go to the hospital, you see people like that. Well, we don't want you behind the wheel of a car. I mean, we want you to be pain-free and doing your thing, but we don't want you driving because then you put other people at risk.
You talk about how the officers have been trained. Do you know some of the things that, you know, they can look for or what they spot? I certainly don't want to give away any hints so anyone listening here can try and circumvent those, you know, but do you know any of those things that are different from, say, an alcohol investigation on a traffic stop versus some sort of narcotic?
And the good thing about that is really we could talk about them all day. The people can't mask the symptoms. The officers are going to be able to observe the symptoms. And it's not just one thing. It's a variety of different things that they're asking you to do. And a lot of them are very similar to what they do with alcohol. The same kind of test, the nystagmus in the eyes, the speech, the slurring your words, how you interact with your fingers, counting. Do you respond to questions? If I ask you something, do you respond right away? Is it a normal situation? How do you walk? It's all those things. It's not, and a lot of times, what gets lost in the translation is a lot of times they'll say, well, I passed this test, but I failed these five other. Well, that's why we look at everything. It's a totality of the circumstances to see, and then we get blood tests and urine tests that help us determine. The biggest difference in these cases is the blood test in alcohol, we have a legal limit is 0.8. But in a drug case, we don't have that. We know what the therapeutic level should be. If you're taking what the doctor prescribed to you, and that's one of the evidence things that came in this last case, is the blood level was a little bit higher than what it should have been had he been taking the drugs therapeutically as prescribed. So those are things that we can do, but we can't say, hey, if you're at this level in your blood with an oxycontin or hydrocodone, then you're intoxicated. That we can't do that, but we can say, here's what's in your blood, here's your prescription, you have too much, and here's what we observed about you while you were driving as you're getting out of that car. They're specially trained to look for these things. And they do a really good job at it.
So when you get back to the court level of this, you just said there's no legal limit for the product. I'm sure there's a better term for it than product. For the prescription in your bloodstream, you can figure out how much is there, and you take that based on what it should be for that person, and then, I mean, the court can look at that as in an evidentiary value,
right, the trier of fact. So it's either the jurors or the judge will look at that and they'll say, okay, you were prescribed 10 milligrams of hydrocodone and you're supposed to take one pill as needed every 4 hours, no more than one in every 4 hours. And we know that because there's tests on all these drugs, so you can look up that and say, well, a person that's following a prescription, when you take their blood test, they would be at a certain amount of nanograms for their blood. And so we know kind of where the range is. Now we take the blood test, and if it's higher than that or lower than that, all that does is tell us when they last took it or how much they're taking. It doesn't tell us like alcohol does, are they under the influence? And that's one of the problems between marijuana and methamphetamine and illegal prescription drugs. Different than alcohol is it's we don't have a black letter line saying this is when you're intoxicated. We can't say, well, if you test for 50 nanograms in your blood, you're intoxicated. We can't say that. We have to say, hey, you were 50 nanograms in your blood, and that's consistent with you being appearing to be intoxicated when the officer of suit. So it's really important on the officer to do his job and collect that information and document what he saw, and also to get the blood test to confirm that as well.
I'm glad you whipped out a little bit of legalese there for a second. What is what did you say that was? A nanogram?
Yeah, that's not legalese, that's science.
Okay, well, I've only ever heard it in a courtroom.
Yeah, that's the,
like, how small is that? Because that sounds absolutely like completely microscopic.
Yeah. Nanograms is the term used that when we get measurements of drugs in urine or blood. So it's some kind of a measurement. I don't know the scientific significance of that or what the amounts mean. I've seen nanograms at certain different levels, and again, it's different from urine as it is in blood, but that's how they measure those things. So if we had a scientist in here, we could probably none of us would understand what the scientist just told us, but we would at least walk away here saying, someone told us what that is. We still don't know what
right.
it is.
You're listening to the September 2015 edition of the Mike Moore Show. We're going to step aside for a minute, return with more. You're listening on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.